Good morning. Last week, Shirley and I were in Tucson, Arizona, for a funeral of a family friend and fellow laborer in the work of the Lord. This was Dr. Charles Daniel. He was 59 years old, a physician. He was called home with a heart attack. Some of you know that I've been involved with Gospel Missions of India, where we inform people in the U.S., in North America, about the needs in India among believers, among evangelists. When there is a need for funding, very often I would just pick up the phone and call Charles and talk about this need, and he, nearly every time, would step up and support the work of the Lord in India, who was really a blessing to us in the work that we did for Gospel Missions of India. And while we were there, we heard several testimonies of him supporting the work in Africa, supporting several local assemblies in India with construction projects and things like that. He was a faithful servant. Now, we came back and we were all saddened. We came back on Tuesday, and that very evening we heard the news about our sister Grace Smith being called home to be with the Lord. This past Wednesday at our Zoom Bible study, we had a beautiful time remembering our dear sister and the impact that she had on each one of our lives and in the life of the and testimony of Northwest Bible Chapel. It was really a blessing. These home calls are difficult, but let us hold on to the hope that we have and continue to uphold the families of these loved ones of ours. Now, the book we're studying now is 1 Thessalonians. It's a book that is probably used or quoted from at every Christian funeral. Paul here, when he's writing to the Thessalonians, is responding to the question about life after death and gives us the most hopeful passage, reminding us that the Lord will return in the air. The Lord that was resurrected, was taken up into heaven, will return in the air. That the dead in Christ will rise first to meet him in the air. Then those who are alive and know the Lord will be caught up to be with him. And then we are told that we will be with the Lord forever. What a great hope, especially for those who have recently lost a loved one. I think Paul here also gives us a quick summary of how our sister Grace lived her life. Chapter 1, verse 3. If you take a look at that, it says, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope." We remember our sister for all that her faith in the Lord prompted her to do and achieve for him. The labor that she undertook both in her work among disadvantaged kids, as well as in her family and in our church family, all because of her love for the Lord, her Savior. And of course, we remember the way she patiently suffered, having confidence in the hope that she had for eternity. May each one of us also be found faithful. Now, we started our studies a few weeks ago in the Epistle to the Thessalonians. Our brother Bill took the first two chapters. So just as a quick recap after the break we've had, the church at Thessalonica was formed when Paul preached there for a few short weeks. It says he spoke in the synagogue for 3 weeks. Now, or three Sabbaths. Now, may not necessarily mean that he was just there for 3 weeks. Could have been a little longer. When you think of the fact that he seems to have established his business there, it seems that there were several Gentiles added. It wasn't just in the synagogue that he preached. But it was a short visit that he was in Thessalonica, and a church was established. And Paul had to leave the city because of persecutions or threats to his life. Paul's heart was still there. The believers there were like newborn babies to him. While he was in Athens, as he's writing this chapter, he was concerned about the church. He wanted to help the church, and he sends Timothy to Thessalonica to find out how they are doing. He has just received a good report from Timothy. He hears that they are having trials. He hears that they have questions. And so he sits down and writes this letter or this epistle to them. It is presumed that this is one of the first epistles written, or first letters written by Paul, written around AD 50. Now, if you try to summarize the reasons for Paul writing this chapter or this epistle, based on the five chapters that we have here, he's expressing thankfulness for the encouraging words that he's received from Timothy. He's thankful for the good news that he's received about the church in Thessalonica, despite the persecution that they were facing. There were people trying to undermine Paul's reputation, talking ill of him, talking bad of him, trying to say he had other goals in mind or other reasons for his preaching. So they were trying to demean him. But he finds that he hears that these church at Thessalonica still loved Paul and even longed for his coming. He hears that there's confusion and discouragement regarding the persecution and the second coming of Christ, and regarding what happens to the dead. We find the responses to that in chapters 4 and 5. He also hears that there is sexual immorality, there's laziness, there's dependence on others, that these were things that Paul wanted to address, and that's why he writes that. And we see this in chapter 4, verses 1 to 12. Now, this book also gives us a glimpse into Paul's prayer life. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, we read, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God." Are we able to say that we give thanks always for our brothers and sisters at Northwest? Can we boldly say that we pray without ceasing for our loved ones? Let each one of us examine our prayer life in the light of this example that we have from the life of Paul. Would you turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3? That's our chapter for today. "So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. For you know quite well that we are destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted, and it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you, and that your labors might have been in vain, that our labors might have been in vain. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us, just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you. Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus Christ comes with all his holy ones. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity to hold your words, your truths in our hand. We pray that you would speak to each one of us and minister to our needs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We read earlier that Paul desperately wanted to go and visit the Thessalonian church. Paul considered these believers as children in the Lord. When I read in verse 1, when we could bear it no longer, and again in verse 5, when I could bear it no longer, I was reminded of Shirley and my desire to go and see our grandchildren, our newest grandchildren, the child Ezekiel. Seems like there was a similar great desire here. Would I say that my love for the saints at Northwest Bible Chapel is the same as my love and joy when I see my grandchildren? Paul loved the children of God with a fatherly or grandfatherly heart. Let us examine our love for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, the church was established by Paul during his first visit there. He's not concerned that his work was not finished. He is concerned that his work was not finished. He got only a few weeks to teach it. So he wanted to teach there. So he wanted to visit them. And he wanted to establish them and encourage them. Now, since he could not go there, the next best thing he thought he could do was to send Timothy to them to find out about them. This apparently was a big sacrifice for Paul, since Timothy was a big help to him. We see his sense of loss in verse 1, where he says, "We thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens, left alone, not having the help of Timothy." Paul is in a strange city, if you will, without the help of his companion, but he's willing to endure that hardship so that he could hear more about the church in Thessalonica. Now, Paul was not sending Timothy to spy on them. Go and find out what's going on in that church that we left. I was reminded one of the companies that I worked for was acquired by a larger company, and they acquired another company in Philadelphia. And I went to meet the CEO of the company that acquired us in Arizona. And at dinner, he asked me, "You know, I really want you to go from Illinois to Philadelphia and work with the company that we acquired there." And I'm like, why don't you let me just run the company that I'm working with here? Why do you want me to go there? And then he tells me the weirdest reason. And he says, "I want you to be there so you can tell me what's going on in that company." I'm like, "So you want me to be a spy in that company for you?" It was like the worst reason he could give me to go to that company. Paul is not trying to spy on the church in Thessalonica. He's concerned about them, so he sends Timothy. He wanted to continue to help these new believers. Paul introduces Timothy here as a brother and a co-worker or minister of God and a fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. Timothy was a brother in the Lord and a faithful servant of God, a minister in God's vineyard. Paul, here, who is the great apostle to the Gentiles, refers to his companion as a fellow laborer, as a co-worker. How do we regard those that work alongside us in the church or in the ministries that God has called us to? Do we respect and honor those that are our co-workers that come and clean the chapel on a weekday, that work in the kitchen? How do we treat How do we show our respect for our co-workers, our co-laborers in God's vineyard? Paul sends Timothy, yes, to find out how they are doing in Thessalonica, but most importantly, to strengthen and to encourage them in their faith, or to establish and encourage them, as it's written in some translations. Paul wanted to encourage the church. He also wanted to strengthen or establish them. Brothers and sisters, Paul knew that while encouragement is needed, it is first important to establish them in the truth, in all the truth. Now, I always struggle when I go to the health club and I look at all the machines that are there. I see the amazing results that some people have achieved using those machines daily, and I'd love to try and do that. There are many people that have encouraged us about going to the gym when I've told them that I go to the gym, but to tell you the truth, I'm nervous to use the machines because I'm not sure what is the right way to use them. I need someone to come alongside me and show me how the machines are used or the weights are to be used so I do not hurt myself. Similarly, in the faith, before encouraging believers to walk in the faith, someone must come aside, the church must come alongside and teach people the truths of the Bible and then encourage them to believe and to continue in the truth. Now, think about the situation that we face today. How can we comfort Grace's family and encourage them without them having the knowledge of truth, without a grounding in the faith? Try giving comfort to someone who has lost a loved one, who does not have confidence in the resurrection of the Lord and in the promise of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to receive us to them, to himself, or in the resurrection of the dead. Try to comfort them. It is impossible. It is important to establish the local assembly in the truths of the scriptures before we try to comfort them to walk faithfully in the truth. Verses 3 and 4 says, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials, for you know quite well that we were destined for them. The Thessalonians were continuing to see hardship. Probably persecution was continuing, the same that Paul had when he was there. It may have just been trials of health or the economy. But Paul wanted to encourage and comfort them along the way, and so this epistle was written. He also wanted to remind them that these trials that they were facing were not the great tribulation. There were some that thought the trials that they were facing were that the Lord... This was the great tribulation. Paul is giving them teaching. Paul here continues to give them teaching on the coming of the Lord and on the day of the Lord to show them this wasn't the great tribulation that they were facing. Paul also confirms that believers are not immune to difficult times. In fact, he says we are appointed unto these afflictions, just as Christ suffered trials during his life here on earth. We see in Philippians 1:29, it says, for to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. We, as Christians, are called to suffering. Jesus, in Matthew 16:24, said, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Suffering is part of the Christian life. It is through trials that God teaches the believer perseverance, teaches obedience, gives us experience on how we can comfort others, and brings us into a deeper relationship of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, while doing this passage, I was reminded of our brother Paul Sherwood. When I visited him at Condell Hospital, he shared some of the difficulties that he was facing. And while he was describing them, he said, but wait, when I was going through this, I was reminded of the Lord Jesus and his suffering. the Lord Jesus, the God of heaven, came into this world and he suffered tremendously at the hands of his people. When I'm going through these trials here, yes, they're difficult, but I was reminded of my Savior and his trials and the persecution that he faced. And that gave him the strength to cope with his trials. May the trials that we face lead us to remember the Lord, remember his suffering, and trust that he will lead us through. And as the Lord Jesus Christ was promoted into glory, let us have confidence in the fact that we too will be promoted into eternity, into glory. Now, it's also important to note here that there are trials and tribulations that can be avoided by us simply by obeying God's word. If we disobey God's word, make choices that are contrary to God's will, we will suffer the consequences for those actions. When we, for example, if we're clearly told that we should only marry believers. If we get caught up in a relationship with an unbeliever and decide to marry them, there are bound to be problems. I'm sure that there are areas in our lives that we have disobeyed God and borne the consequences because of that. These would have been problems that we could have avoided by obeying God's will, God's word. That said, again, there can and will be trials and sufferings in the life of believers. Now, the persecution Paul is talking about here are persecutions and trials that we face because of our faith, or trials sent by God to mold us into his image so we can be drawn closer to him and be faithful servants of his. Trials may also be brought by Satan to tempt us, like we see in the case of Job. Going on to verse 4, in fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted, and it turned out that way, as you well know. Paul reminds them that while he was with them, he told them that persecution would come. Persecution had come while he was there, and it had continued for them. So he wanted them to persevere and not give up and not let Satan lead them away, as we find him continuing on in verse 5. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you and that our labors might have been in vain. Paul, knowing how he had left the church after a short while of teaching in the middle of trials, wanted to find out about them, so he sends Timothy, and wanted to make sure that Satan was not deceiving them, making Paul's work among them futile. Paul wanted to know that the church was standing strong, so he sends Timothy to help them. Verse 6, but Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us, just as we also long to see you. This letter, of course, is written after Timothy comes back to Paul with good news about the church in Thessalonica. What a report Timothy has brought back. He's brought back good news about the believers, about their faith, about their love, about their perseverance, about the fact that they remember Paul fondly and that they would love to see him again. Now, I was wondering, if Timothy were to visit Northwest Bible Chapel, what would be the testimony he would write about us? What would be the report that he gave? When he comes and visits us, would he be happy to see our confidence and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and in his word? Would he find us faithful in the circumstances that we are in today? Would he find us faithful in our desire to spread the good news of the gospel? Would he talk about our passion for the gospel, for missions, through our giving? What would he say when he sees our financial report? That we are a church that gives sacrificially, that supports the needy among us, that we support missions? When he sees us mourning the loss of so many loved ones, would he truly see the confidence that we have in the hope given to us by the Lord in his word? Would he see us living in the light of the hope of eternity? Would he see us being faithful to the word of God in our church and in our own lives? Let us examine our lives. Verse 6, we're told he has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us, just as we also long to see you. Now, Paul is not just into himself and glad to hear that the Thessalonians loved him and wanted to see him again. What he was concerned about is that Thessalonians had not been led astray by false testimony about Paul. There were all sorts of rumors regarding Paul. He was concerned that if they rejected Paul, they would reject the gospel he had preached to them. So he was thankful that they still remembered him fondly and that they also wanted to see him just as he wanted to see them. It is important that we remember and honor those that bring us the word of God. Do we remember those that led us to Christ? Would this passage not prompt us to send them a short note saying we are thankful for them bringing us to the Lord and that we are continuing in the faith? That would bring a smile and a lot of joy to them. Verses 7 to 9, therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecutions, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? When I read this passage, I was reminded of the Lord's message to Ananias in Acts chapter 9, verses 15 to 16. The Lord said to Ananias, go, this man, that is Paul, is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Paul was suffering. Paul had persecution, and he was suffering, and even suffering because he hadn't heard enough about what was going on in the church of Thessalonica, and he had a passion for them. In the first verse, we saw that Paul was in Athens when he sent Timothy. He is now in Corinth when Timothy comes back to him. Paul here is in distress, in persecution. And what gives him encouragement and joy is to hear about the Thessalonian believers, to hear that they were going strong in the Lord by hearing about their work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. This brought him joy. Literally says, for now we really live since you are standing firm in the Lord. You can just about imagine the worry that Paul had for the believers. It was sapping the life out of him. Now he's rejuvenated since they are spiritually growing. He goes on to say, how can we thank God enough for you, for the joy you bring us? It is easy, and we all get excited about the material successes of our children and those we love, even of our brothers and sisters in Christ. It was good to hear that Raul has a new job that he's going to be joining tomorrow. Let's pray that God helps him in the work that he does. But how often do we pray for and recognize and rejoice at the spiritual prosperity of our children and those we love? Paul was excited about the spiritual growth of the church at Thessalonica. again about his prayer life. Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. We are reminded again of Paul's daily intercessory prayer life on behalf of the church. He desperately wanted to see these believers. He also wanted to fill in the gaps, if you will, on the areas that they were in the areas that they were lacking. Paul was interested in making sure that the believers in this church were well-rounded in the scriptures, and they did not stay on milk, if you will, but went on to feast on the meat of the scriptures. Paul took all aspects of the faith seriously, and that these people, he wanted them to be well-rounded. He wanted to personally help fill in the gaps for them. We, as a local assembly, have to ensure that our church is well-rounded in our knowledge of the scriptures, knowledge of the truths of scripture. One of the ways we are doing this is to ensure that we go through the books of the Bible in both our Wednesday Bible studies and now even in our Sunday morning ministry, going through the book of Acts, book of Genesis, now going through the epistles. We want to ensure that we touch on all the teachings of scripture. This was important to Paul, and it should be important to us. We go on to verses 11 to 13, which really is a prayer of Paul. Now, may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Paul here prays that God the Father and the Lord Jesus make a way for him to go visit Thessalonica again. Paul still wanted to see the Thessalonians even after the good news that he heard. So he committed this possible visit to prayer and into the hands of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. May God clear the way, make the way possible. He just trusts the Lord. Now, we know that this desire was to be fulfilled in Acts chapter 20 when he goes back on his third missionary journey. Paul also prays that they continue to increase in love to one another and to others. They demonstrated love as Timothy came and reported to Paul, but Paul knew that they, like each one of us, all of us, can grow in love. I was reminded of the verse, by this will all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. People around us are going to see our love and will be reminded of God the Father and be pointed to God the Father as they see our love one to another. Paul is also bold here, and he does this often, where he sets himself up as a standard on how we should love others. He says, just as ours, that is his love, does for you. Paul sets himself up as an example. Can we set ourselves up as an example to those that we are talking to about God's word, about our prayer life, about our love for our fellow believers? Paul ends the prayer by asking that they be strengthened to be blameless and holy when the Lord Jesus comes. Brothers and sisters, that is also Paul's prayer for us. What better incentive for us to want to be blameless and holy than to know and believe that our Lord Jesus Christ is coming back for us. And he's coming back with those that have just gone on before us. Just wanted to summarize chapter 3 with these thoughts. Let us examine our love for the children of God, for the saints at Northwest. Let us examine our prayer life. Is it constant? Is it consistent? Is it all-encompassing at least all our brothers and sisters in Christ, let us make sure we protect ourselves from false teachers and teachings. Let us make sure that we establish people or even ourselves in the truth and then encourage them or want to be encouraged ourselves. Let us be established in the truth. Let us ensure that our knowledge of end times are scriptural so that we can have confidence when we have times like this where our loved ones are called home to be with them. Let us ensure that our hope of eternity and a soon coming Lord prompts us to live blameless and holy lives. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you for the life of Paul. What an amazing man of God. Father, we know of his passion to be calling people before the high priest because they were Christians and even overseeing the murder of Stephen. But Father, we see what a change came about his life when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. And Father, even as we read this epistle, we are reminded of the persecution and sufferings that he faced. Father, Lord, we thank you that he could live a life that he boldly stood and offered himself up as an example for the church in Thessalonica and for us here at Northwest Bible Chapel. Thank you for the boldness to preach the gospel. Thank you for the boldness through suffering. Thank you for his love for the children of God. Thank you for his constant prayer life, his consistent prayer life. Father, we thank you for reminding us that we should establish ourselves in the truth. May each one of us here be found opening your word daily, to read from your word daily, to seek out truths from your word. Father, we pray that we would encourage one another. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you speak to each one of us and that you minister to each one of our needs. Father, today we pray especially for Grace's family and extended family, for the Northwest family. As we mourn the loss, yes, we mourn, but we do not mourn as the world does because we have hope. Father, my prayer is that each and every person that is here this morning or that might be here this afternoon is confident about their relationship with you, that they have given their life to you, that you have forgiven them, that you will receive them into glory because they have been forgiven, their sins have been forgiven. Father, if there's one here or that comes through these doors this afternoon that does not know you, through the words of hope, through the words of the scripture, we pray that they would give their lives to you, would receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and have the same confidence that each one of us has, that our sister Grace Smith is with you, absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. Pray that they would have that same confidence that should the Lord call us today, tomorrow, or whenever it might be, we would have confidence that we will be in your presence. But Father, we look forward to the day when the Lord Jesus Christ will come in the air with the shout of the archangel, with the trumpet sound. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and those who are alive will be caught up to be with him. Father, what a glorious thought to be with him forever, in the presence of the God of gods, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords. Help us to rest in that hope. Help us to have confidence in that hope. Let us encourage and greet one another with that hope. Maranatha, even so come, Lord Jesus. We ask all this and offer this prayer in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.